Now I want to tell you a little bit about like who I am. I'm at Fordham University. I'm an associate dean and professor. That's my email. Very simple to remember, congress@fordham.edu. And I've been interested in immigrants and refugees for a long time. Wasn't always a stuffy academic. I began in the practice world working with, in a mental health clinic with many Latinas. And that's when I became particularly interested in immigrants. So I'm going to and the one before was very important. I have no no financial conflict of interest. So in fact, maybe I should. Okay. I'm on the level, and also I teach ethics and write on ethics, so it certainly would have no conflict in terms of this presentation. Now I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what I'm talking about. Introduction, you've had this. I'm going to talk very briefly about the global national policy context, a little bit about some immigration theories, then about the CHAT model, which is what I've developed, and it stands for Cultural Health Assessment Tool. And it builds on the Culturegram, which is a family assessment tool I developed back in the 90s, and it's gone through a couple of revisions. But the CHAT really looks at health, and it's really a longitudinal approach, and increases our understanding of immigrant health and promotes social justice for immigrants, which is, of course, the theme of this conference. And let me just tell you briefly, as you probably know, there are 191 million migrants worldwide. People are migrating all over the world. And because of climate change, national disasters, conflict, war, the numbers are increasing all the time. There's often a move from developing countries to developed countries. And in the United States, we have a very, very large immigrant population. And we, as you probably know, I mean, the U.S., we've always had immigrants, but there's been a real influx within the last 20 years. And this is the population in the U.S., but it's much higher in a lot of cities. I mean, for example, New York City, where I come from, I think it's about 35%, and it's about 67% are either immigrants or children of immigrants. A little bit about the immigrant population here in the United States, and I have a PowerPoint, so a lot of these are in your PowerPoint. You know, why immigrants migrate, and I think the pictures really show some of the places where immigrants come from and why they come. I'm sure everyone's heard of the push-pull theory, push why people leave and pull what attracts them to other countries. You could think of this in terms of macro, political issues, war, economic issues, not being able to grow crops, geographic with climate change, too much water, not enough water. This happens in terms of why people leave, but also why people come and often why they choose to come to different countries. Then you can look also at the meso level, and that's more social and community relationships. And often immigrants come because they have relatives who have already immigrated, so they come to be with relatives. But also their personal characteristics, and sometimes migrants have a greater independence. Sometimes the healthier people come, and this really relates to our conference. People who are really very, very disabled just aren't as able to migrate, and also people who are free to leave. Maybe some younger people who don't have a lot of children, and people kind of dependent on them are likely to migrate. Dee Dee Drachman, 2004, and I realized, unfortunately, the reference isn't on that reference list, but I would really recommend you read her. She writes about social work and immigrants, and she speaks about three stages of immigration. And it's very important when you're working with immigrants. I know myself, I'm so concerned about people's current situation. But you really have to look at what their life was like in their country of origin and what factors led to their decision to immigrate. And it's real important to think of the transit experience. I mean, for many, it's a long plane ride. But for some, it's really a dangerous desert or water crossing. And finally, the current situation. So, I mean, that's why I really like Dee Dee Drachman's work. She's at the University of Connecticut, just in terms of the three stages of, you know, of migration. And here, this is a work in process, but I, you know, did a little diagram to show about how all the three are related, and you really have to be mindful of all three and how each one affects the other. Now, let me tell you a little bit about chat. As I said, it began with the Culturegram, which I developed back in, it really started, I guess, in the 80s when I was working in a mental health clinic. And I would find clients really differ. In the morning, I'd see a Mexican family who had been in New York City for about 2 weeks. And were undocumented. And then in the afternoon, I'd see a Puerto Rican family who had been in New York for like 30 years. Now, and then I could write it my notes. So I saw two Latino or Hispanic families, but they were a world of difference. So I just felt that we had to really know and understand more about them other than that they were just Hispanic or Latino, quote unquote. So that's what led to me developing this. And I can give you much more information about this if you're interested. I also, moving into the 21st century, I now have a podcast about the Culturegram. And I've also written a book on social work with immigrants and refugees, which I also have a podcast of. But in terms of the Culturegram, there were three parts of this. See that each block represents something, and I know it's really hard to see, but there are three of these blocks that are particularly significant in terms of the chat model. One of the blocks, which is here, I think, is about health access and beliefs, and that's real, real important in terms of our work. And then I have another one. This is in my newest Culturegram. It's about the history and also current bias and discrimination, which many migrants have faced in their country of origin, have encountered in transit, and also are experiencing now in the United States or in whatever country they migrate to. I mean, a lot of people are migrating like all over the world, and there's a lot of issues too right now in Europe in terms of migrants. And Europe has always been much more homogeneous, the country, so there's particular challenges. And the third point, historical and current trauma. Now I tried to think, using Drachman's, you know, three-phase model, what it was like for people when they left. What health problems did they experience in their countries of origin, and how much did this contribute to the decision to migrate? What physicals and mental health threats did they encounter? And this list is certainly not all inclusive, but I mean, food shortages, economic hardships, malnutrition, hunger, disease, torture, fear for personal and family safety, and loss of family members, especially with refugees. Then this is transit, see? This is at our southern border here, see, with their water. And a lot of violence. A lot of people, by the way, don't just migrate to a developing country. Many people spend years in a refugee camp, or may migrate somewhere within their homeland, and then go to a refugee camp, and then on to the United States or another developed country. And then the current situation. Is the health, now you can ask, and there's differing research on this, which I'm going to address in a moment, is the health of immigrants better? I mean, now you think first, I mean, a lot of health challenges. First, and I mean, there is a kind of a lifelong experience, maybe, of not getting much health care, of really having had severe health, diseases, you know, as a child. Also, access to health care may have been very limited. Oops. There's there are employment and safety issues, and which many migrants face now here in the United States and elsewhere, and plus there's violence. Also, I mean, I've really thought a lot about this in terms of climate change. And what's the effect of moving from a southern to a northern climate? And many migrants do this. And I was very aware of this last year when I was asked to go to New Hampshire to give a talk about refugees. Many refugees from Somalia had been relocated to Manchester, New Hampshire. And what a challenge. I mean, just in terms of transportation, and not to mention the snow. I mean, I did a little research in Somali. The average daily temperature is 85, the coldest recorded temperature, 59. That's probably one of the hottest days in New Hampshire. So that's a challenge. And I just mentioned this because when I was there, I was told the story about a mother not really experienced much with cold and snow, and she had sent her kids to school that morning, and it started to snow really heavily. The kids and the children didn't have boots, didn't have coats on, so immediately on the phone to child welfare, and of course everyone, all the New Hampshireites were all bundled up, and people had been checking the television about the storm that was coming. So this is part of the issue. And then I just a picture's worth a million words. And that, I mean, the experience of many people in a refugee camp, and then that's Manchester, New Hampshire. A little bit different. Just now, going back to effects of long-term health problems, malnutrition, stunted growth, respiratory diseases, post-traumatic stress. But now, back to our question, are migrants healthier when they come? I mean, first, since some people are barred from entry if they have a contagious disease of public health significance, and these are some of the diseases. Now, but also, there's a lot of talk about this healthy migrant effect. Do migrants come here much healthier? First, then, I mean, it's thought that there, because of these health policies and exclusion, that maybe people are, the healthier people are able to come, and people who are really disabled and have lots of problems are not likely to migrate. And also, kind of younger people, maybe without health problems, they want to kind of start over. But a big question is, people may arrive healthier, but what happens when they come here? There's some research to suggest that their health really deteriorates, and they become acculturated to less healthy habits, change of diet, less exercise. There's certainly greater risk for obesity, and there's a real issue now with childhood obesity. Also diabetes, cardiovascular problems, high blood pressure. So this is a real issue. Now, just in terms of access, this is a real issue in terms of healthcare for immigrants. And I'm not gonna spend a lot of time with this, but there's still limited federal coverage even for legal immigrants, and forget it for undocumented immigrants. Let me just mention, I'm also on the governing council, and I was very pleased, here at American Public Health, and I was very pleased yesterday a resolution was passed to really try to do something about undocumented immigrants and their access to healthcare, which certainly was supportive. And I'll tell you that it wasn't 100%, but it was like, I think 96, 97% of people were in support of that. Now, you know, as we know, certainly the immunizations, you know, are available for all, and states have different policies, you know, toward medical care for, especially for children and pregnant women. Some of the other issues, there's lack of facilities, there's issues with transportation. They find that the longer people stay in the United States, immigrants are more likely to use health care, but that may not be as true for undocumented people. Very quickly, just many immigrants work in really kind of like low status, dangerous jobs, and really want to work and try to work, but they're in construction, have more injuries. Part of it is because safety instructions, sometimes they're just in English and people, you know, don't know about, you know, how to use equipment. Now, also, I'm particularly interested in this, migrant and seasonal farm workers, and there's a greater morbidity and mortality than the rest of the population. Life expectancy is lower. Some of the issues, also, I mean, we think child labor, I mean, it's still an issue here in the United States. It's not something, you know, we think about in terms of around the world. I mean, it happens here in the United States that kids, you know, 12 or 14 are working. And violence, and I don't know about your communities, but I'll tell you, in New York City, there are lots of issues of in terms of violence and discrimination and racism toward immigrants. Now, I know my time's about up. Let me just say quickly, mental health. What about mental health? There's post-traumatic stress, but also other issues, fear of deportation, racism. I mean, this really affects psychologically, not to mention there are all kinds of social stressors that certainly affect mental health. So just quick summary. I'm trying to use the chat to really understand an immigrant's health experience, both before they came, while they're traveling, and what happens here. And this really helps us plan for prevention, which is our mantra, you know, as public health social workers. So thank you. Those are references, and that's who I am.
Great. So.